You're listening to Radio DePaul. I'm Connor Mudd, and this is Tom Talks. Hello, and welcome to a very special New Year's Clip Show Spectacular. I don't have a guest today, this is just me, and we're going to break down some of my favorite moments from Tom Talks, and of course we're going to talk about a movie. The movie we're talking about today is Austin Powers and Goldmember. It is one of the Tom Cruise movies that doesn't feature a lot of Tom Cruise, so I'm pretty happy that it fell right on a day when a New Year's special makes sense. We're going to have a great time breaking down the top 10 moments from Tom Talks. So without further ado, let's get into the top 10 moments from Tom Talks so far. Coming in at number 10 is a clip from episode 5, one of my favorite guests that I've had on this show, Evan Hazlett. I worked with him on the DePaul Activities Board. He's a phenomenal concert planner. And of course, you'll remember, he is planning a music festival called Floof. I believe it's an EDM festival in Detroit, so keep your ears to the ground, and if you like EDM, check out Floof when it comes to fruition. Clip number 10 is Evan telling us the story of the times that he has shoplifted. Let's check it out.
Number 3, we're getting a little saucier here. Have you ever shoplifted?
Yes.
Yes?
So, me and my friends, I had a gas station at the end of my street, and we used to shoplift from there all the time. It was kind of repulsive, actually.
Yeah?
We would go in, and we would take probably, like, 20 packs of gum and put them in our pants and things. And, like, looking back...
Did you chew all of it?
No. I mean, eventually. But it would just be, like, so shocking as to how we didn't get caught. Because
we would
each... It would
back,
be like a competition.
Yeah.
We'd go back, like, twice a week and take, like, 20 packs of gum each. Like,
yeah.
And then, so, the one time that they were, like... Oh, like, you're stealing. They try to say that my friend Lauren put a pair of sunglasses in her pants. And it was so strange because we're like, number one, like, that was the only time that we hadn't stolen. So we were like, very upfront, like, no, we don't have anything. He's like, you put those sunglasses in your pants. And she's like, no, like, I really didn't. Like, I tried them on and I put them back. Like, we're not going to steal that. It's right in front of the counter. I'm not dumb.
Yeah.
But so I've shoplifted from there a bit. I've shoplifted from Whole Foods. I like to take two pieces of pizza and pretend that I took one.
That's, you know, everyone does. That's like a take a penny, leave a penny sort of thing.
Exactly. Yeah. And then also, if stores ever have like a donation bin, if it's for food, most of the time if it's for like toys or something, it's a little harder. But if it's for food, I'll usually go to just like the can aisle, grab a couple cans, and just like throw it in.
That's like Robin Hood level shoplifting.
Well, because I honestly seen it on Facebook. Like, you know, Jeff Bezos, like, Bezos, whatever.
Well, it doesn't matter. We spell it right. That's what
exactly.
counts.
Exactly. But, you know, like, he can give back a little more. Like, I'm going to go into Whole Foods, and I'm going to give a couple cans to whatever charitable cause it is, and I dare an employee to go into that bin and try to pick out the food that I just put in.
Right.
Like, are you kidding me? Do you really care that much? No. You're not going to get fired. Nothing's going to happen.
Yeah. That is a good way
it's
to
It's like my
with.
Robin Hood secret yeah. stealing for the good cause.
Oh, yeah. That's the way to go.
We stan a modern Robin Hood. Anything to get Jeff Bezos away from his money. That was good enough for slot number 10. Slot number 9 is a moment when I had to learn to improvise a little bit. You'll remember in episode 4 when my guest didn't show up till way late in the episode, and I had to throw something together. So for the first half of the show, I totally wung it, did all of my synopses and everything, and then right when she got there, I had very little time to pull everything else together. So this is the part where Jillian shows up to the show late without knowing who Tom Cruise is. So let's check in with Jillian for clip number 9.
Whew. Well, I don't know much about Tom Cruise, so... Isn't he the one with the tooth in the middle?
Yes, he is.
And he's the Scientology dude, right?
Yes.
Okay, that's my knowledge. So,
mean, you ride a motorcycle. That's pretty Tom Cruise-y.
I guess you're right. You're right. That would probably be it. I was trying to think if I had any, like, cult affiliations, but I don't.
No?
Lucky
no cult
me,
affiliations?
So.
Well, that's good. That's good that you've kept out of the cults. That's
right.
Really, that is ideal. Then the next thing, this is a fun one. This is, I'm going to give you one full minute, and you don't know too much about Tom Cruise, but I'm just going to let you say whatever you need to say to Tom Cruise.
Oh, wow.
I know. You know, of Mission Impossible fame and the like. Okay. So I'm going to give you one full minute, and you're going to talk to Tom. All right. Are you ready?
As ready as I'll ever be.
Okay, here we go.
Well, Tom, don't know much about you. Think that puts me in the minority of people, but think it's really cool that you're following your beliefs and doing your thing. And living your life, jealous of the whole action movie thing. Wish I could do that. That'd be cool. I'd have to ask about the middle tooth thing. I'm really, really interested, you know? How did that happen? Were you born like that, do you think? I don't know. That's interesting. But, I don't know. You seem like a cool guy. You got nice hair, I guess. What's it like with the last name that's a verb? What's that like? I couldn't imagine. You know, cruise? Like, do you get jokes about it? I feel like he has to, right? Like, he has to get Tom, are you cruising jokes, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
I could see that. I feel like I would make a joke like that if I ever do meet him. Because the hopes is that one day is that he'll listen to all of these and he'll hear fun little one-minute messages just for him.
Just for you, Tom Cruise.
Just for you, Tom.
If you're out there.
If you're listening, Tom, we love you. So that's what we like to do every episode.
Love that.
So have you seen, how many Tom Cruise movies have you seen?
I'd have to say probably zero. I'm bad about actors and I'm bad about movies.
Okay.
I'm not.
Have you seen any Mission Impossibles?
Nope.
No.
I've seen Restaurant Impossible.
That's close, but not quite. I do like Robert Irvine.
Me too.
Have you seen, like, Risky Business or Top Gun?
I think I've maybe seen Top Gun.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a good one. I was going to ask what your favorite Tom Cruise movie is, but...
Restaurant Impossible.
Best answer you could give.
Thank you, Tom
Robert
Cruise.
Robert Irvine's Restaurant Impossible.
You know, we get a huge variety of movies that people say are their favorite Tom Cruise movie. Restaurant Impossible might be the weirdest, but I think the one that occurs most frequently is Top Gun, because that's one that pretty much everyone has seen. In close second would be Mission Impossible. But of course, nobody is saying anything like Losing It or Legend as their favorite Tom Cruise film. I don't bring a lot of cult classic aficionados on the show. Maybe I should. Though, speaking of the cult classic Legend, that was an episode that was a little bit against the grain. It was a very fun one. I don't know if I'll ever do another one like it, because honestly, the prep work for that episode was greater than any other, and I don't want to do it again. Regardless, there was at least one moment in that show that was very memorable, very enjoyable. So let's take a look at clip number 8, the Meg Muckbones encounter.
Yes. Suddenly.
Suddenly.
Suddenly. A large troll woman covered in warts and dripping with swamp water approaches.
Oh no.
She says, "I'm hungry, and you look quite tasty."
I'm sorry, what's your name?
"I am Meg Muckbones. I know the many secrets of this forest, and I haven't had breakfast yet."
"You know the secrets of the forest? I'm the guardian of the forest."
"I know of you, Gump. But I know all the secrets of the forest, and I'm hungry for more." She's also hungry for flesh.
"Well, if you kill me, then you won't know the secrets."
"Oh, you're right. But I can eat that scrumptious little man in the armor."
"I mean, or you could not."
"But I would like to."
She approaches. "Who's stinkier, though? Me or her?"
She is, definitely. She has just been in a swamp for probably 3 years.
God.
Yeah, I know.
She hasn't eaten in 3 years?
Well, she eats like frogs, but she would love some... "Some scrumptious little boy meat." I'm so sorry I said that.
Yeah, I hated that.
I mean, that was worse.
These are like direct quotes.
Gump goes right up to Mi'kmaq Bones, like right up, and he's thinking he looks scary, but also he's a halfling, so he tiny. And he's gonna say, not mine. He's gonna try to convince her not to kill him. So I'm gonna roll. Can I roll for performance?
You can. Roll for performance.
Or would it be more deception?
Or is it persuasion?
Or persuasion.
You could also...
I'm a bard, so I feel like I'm putting on like a show.
You could also,
you know,
try and get the secrets out of her.
Ooh.
But I think first I need to convince her not to kill him. No?
You're very close to her, and she has expressed a desire to eat you, and you are quite small.
I know, but I have all the secrets.
But not all of them.
Most of them.
But not all of them.
So I shouldn't roll?
I'm saying you can roll for performance, but it might not get you anything. Like, it can get you something, but
thanks,
it might not
DM,
get you information.
For leading me towards the answer.
Isn't that what I'm supposed to do? Am I not supposed to lead you towards the answer? Well,
you gotta let us do our own thing.
We don't have the time to do our
You're
own
right.
thing. We have to get railroaded here.
A little bit. So you can...
I like free choice.
So you can roll for performance.
I feel like it's not going to do anything.
I just don't
anymore.
Know what it would do. As a DM, I don't know what it would do.
Okay, so he's going to roll for... Or I'm going to do persuasion and try to convince her, I guess, vote, not to kill him because I'm the guardian, and so I deserve to know what's going on in my forest.
Okay.
Can I
roll? Yeah, you can roll.
I rolled a 12, and I get... It's perception, right? Or... No, it's persuasion?
Or
performance? What do you think,
which
DM?
Which one...
My persuasion. I don't have... Well, I do have my instruments.
It's persuasion,
on
yeah.
Okay. 12 plus 5.
Plus 5, so 17. She says...
I will kill you last, but... Since you are the guardian of the forest, I will be willing to tell you some secrets. What would you like to know?
Have you heard about the unicorn?
Yes, one has been killed.
Did you do it?
No, it was not me.
I don't buy that.
It was the darkness.
Ooh, the darkness.
That's so vague. I mean, it's definitely you.
No, there's a dude. He lives in a castle.
Prove
His name
it to
is
me.
The darkness.
Prove it to me.
You're so mean and want to kill us. Why wouldn't you kill a unicorn?
Because I will not eat the purest being in the forest.
Yeah, but you
if
might.
If it's not you, show us the darkness.
I can point you to his castle.
Okay.
Yeah, but how are we going to be able to go there if you eat us? We're going to...
You should help us.
You're really...
I'm really...
I'm still hungry.
Well, you can eat the darkness if he's real.
Oh, the darkness holds more powerful magic than I. I could not eat him. He is immune to my chomps.
Chomps?
But you tasty little snacks are not.
I'm not scared.
She definitely killed the unicorn.
Oh, she did. She's the villain.
Okay. Let me take you to his castle then.
Yeah, prove
okay.
it.
Okay, so she now is acting as their guide, I suppose.
Did you not predict this?
Nope. I thought she'd be dead by now.
Ah, yes, Mi'kmaq Bones, the best character from the movie Legend, who, in the actual movie, dies at the hand of Jack in that sequence. So while Chase and Morgan befriended the evil witch in the movie, she dies fairly quickly because she becomes obsessed with her own reflection and her head gets chopped off. It's a whole thing. That was a very fun episode, though. I'm not certain if Radu DePaul will be participating in Rock the Clock again, because that was my Rock the Clock special. If they do, I will have another limited edition special, and I'm very excited for whatever that may be. But I won't decide it until I've confirmed that we are doing Rock the Clock. Rock the Clock is, of course, Radio DePaul's partnership with Demonthon. Demonthon is, of course, the dance marathon that DePaul hosts to raise money for the Robert Lurie Children's Hospital of Chicago. There are about 14 weeks until Demonthon this year. and you can donate to Demonthon online somewhere. I'm sure if you Google Demonthon 2021, something will come up. I don't have a link. They're not telling me to promote it, but I figure might as well give some money to children in need while I'm here with my New Year's Clip Show special. While you sit there Googling where to donate, we'll get into clip number 7. It's a topic that I've mentioned many times on my shows, so much that it feels a little bit repetitive. For clip number 7, let's listen to the first time I talked about the Groundhog Day movie marathon.
Have you seen, like, Edge of Tomorrow, one of his recent action films?
I did, yes, mm-hmm. because my dad wanted to see it, so I watched it with him. Yeah. No, I liked it. I thought it was really repetitive. It's like, I'm going over and over the same thing. At some point, I was like, can we get over with this already? Yeah. Like, I've already watched this 20 times. But it was cool.
Yeah.
It was
fun. It's like Groundhog Day.
Yeah.
It's that same thing.
Exactly the same thing, yeah.
Yeah. I'm planning a movie marathon on Groundhog Day, which is coming up, actually. I should actually schedule that movie marathon. Because there's, like, 5 movies with that same exact concept.
Oh, wow.
Happy Death Day is a horror movie version of it.
Through Dab, we took people to see that for free.
Oh, yeah. Remember? That was one of the first events I worked. I took photos of that event.
There you go.
And then, what else was there? There's a Netflix original movie, Naked, which is like a romantic comedy where a dude wakes up on his wedding day. He's, like, passed out naked in an elevator. What? And he keeps waking up passed out naked in an elevator as each day ends.
What?
Yeah. It's, you know.
That's funny.
It's got the, I always forget his name, but it's the guy from the Allstate commercials. You know, the You're in Good Hands guy?
No
way. He plays the dad of the bride. So he's like super disappointed that his new son-in-law keeps showing up naked to his daughter's wedding. Like,
that's funny.
It's pretty funny. It's comedic, to say the least. But yeah, it'll be a weird. And then there's, of course, the Netflix original Dollhouse? Russian Doll. Russian Doll is what it's called.
Oh, I haven't watched it.
That one's dark, very twisty.
Oh, okay.
cool. Well, we are going to go into a little bit of a commercial break, but then after the commercial break, we will play a game and we'll talk about Top Gun.
Okay.
So it'll be a fun experience. So stay tuned after a word from our sponsors.
Biking in Chicago is more than just a mode of transportation. It's a lifestyle. It's convenient, affordable, and with 13,000 bike racks, parking is never a problem. But with every reward comes a sidecar of risk. In Chicago, over 1,700 cyclists a year are killed or injured in bike accidents involving motor vehicles. Bike safety is simple. First, become familiar with Chicago bike laws. Know your hand signals and when to use them. Love your brain. Get a bike helmet that fits your noggin and deck it out with a headlamp and some reflective gear for riding at night. Bike at least 3 to 4 feet away from parked cars to avoid being struck by a car door being open. Motorists can do their part too by checking their side view mirrors for bike traffic before exiting their vehicle. Most importantly, remember that we're sharing the road. Looking out for both ourselves and each other is the only way to keep Chicago's roads safe, no matter what your wheels look like. For more information on bike safety in Chicago, visit www.chicagobikes.org. This public service announcement was brought to you by Radio DePaul, Chicago's College Connection.
Want to get some clips published? The DePaulia would like to publish them too. We're always looking for news, opinion, and even nation and world pieces. Is your favorite artist in town? We'll hook you up with press passes in exchange for a concert review. You like photography? We do too. Let's get your name on assignment to shoot some marches or festivals or something just as cool. Do you like shooting video? We would definitely love to feature some digital storytelling. Hey, by the way, we also have a podcast called Page 29. Check it out on our SoundCloud. Where do you find our SoundCloud? Well, DePauliaOnline.com, of course. We've recently revamped our news site. Check us out during the week for news stories that don't run in our paper. Seriously, we'd love to meet you and get you working on some creative assignments. Come visit us in our new office downtown and get bitten by the news bug. Everybody is welcome to pitch story ideas in our weekly Thursday night meetings. We're in the lower level of 1 East Jackson. Shoot us an email at eic@depauliaonline.com to get involved.
This message brought to you by the DePaulia and Radio DePaul, Chicago's College Connection.
And we are back. You're listening to Radio DePaul. I'm Connor Mudd. This is Tom Talks. And I'm here with Natalia Lavie Martini. Is it Lavie Martini?
Yes.
Cool. apparently, today is Groundhog Day.
Yeah.
I definitely didn't check the calendar. And apparently, we're in for an early spring also.
Yes, I needed that.
If you've been outside in Chicago today,
it's obvious to see that we're pretty in an early spring.
Ah, yes, spring of last year. Such naivete, such joy. I, of course, am recording this now from my mom's basement in western Nebraska. Much different from the lovely spring breezes of Chicago. Oh, how times have changed. I still have yet to have my Groundhog Day movie marathon. I'm going to try this year. I think it'll be easier this year since I have to be locked inside right around the time of Groundhog Day. So staying in and watching four movies doesn't sound like too much. I have done much longer movie marathons while in quarantine. I watched all of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I did all of Star Wars in one contiguous stream of watching with only one sleep break and two or three food breaks. I've binged probably 15 to 30 shows throughout the year of varying length, some with six seasons, some with two. So I figure a quick little Groundhog Day movie marathon won't be too bad while the pandemic is still on, which gives me something to look forward to in February. Now, this next clip was intended to be part of my show in April. It was supposed to be on my birthday special, but of course I had to cancel the show for a quarter, so it was on my half birthday special. I recorded it 2 days after I turned 21 and a half, which is not an accomplishment, just a coincidence, really. But of course, I brought on for my half birthday special the woman who gave birth to me. I brought my mom on because, you know, I was born to Jerry Maguire, or so I thought. Clip number six is me hearing her tell that story. I don't know if I've ever, I've heard the vague story of why Jerry Maguire was on, but I don't remember it in full.
Yeah, so I heard your version that you told Asher that Jerry Maguire was somehow the first like sound you heard as a child. So I guess we can start your, it's part of your birth story. So your birth story began on April Fool's Day, 1999, which was not 21 and a half months ago. That was 21 and a half years ago. That was 21 and like 7 months ago, but you attempted to come way too early. And I went into labor and you just decided you wanted to come out and tell the ultimate April Fool's joke. They decided that they wanted you to be able to breathe and eat. So they gave me a bunch of drugs, kept me in the hospital. And then they sent me home to just chill out for a few weeks and try to get you to your due date, which was May 12th. You weren't due until mid-May. Sad part of the story, trying to find something funny because Columbine had just happened. Ooh. And so Columbine happened April 20th. We got a little consumed. You know, Tori was 15 months old, had just learned to walk. She had gone to bed, like I was exhausted, had a, you know, super pregnant. So we put on Jerry Maguire at home just to chill out. At this point, they decided that if I made it till April 28th or 29th, they would induce me so that you could just be, I was miserable. It was time. So we just finally relaxed. It was like this weird relaxation moment. And I got up to go to the bathroom because that's basically what you do as your full-time job when you're pregnant at 9 months. And yeah, I was pretty sure I'd like peed my pants, but I had not. But I wasn't sure. And the internet is not at that moment what it is now. So it's not like Google, like you could just be like, well, what? So I got out my book and it was like, here's what you do to know if your water has broken or if you've just peed your pants. So I laid on the ground on the bathroom floor and was like, nope, this is definitely my water breaking. So it was like 10:30 at night, called your grandma Nancy to say, I need you to come over and watch Tori. And she'd been asleep. And so she kept saying, are you sure? Like, you know, we'd had a couple of false starts with you. We're like, we knew we were going to induce. I'm like, I am 100% sure that this kid is coming. So it just happened that Jerry Maguire was like the chill out movie that finally made me relax enough to just go into labor with you. And so forever, whenever I see Jerry Maguire, I'm like, I went into labor with this kid. And like 2 hours later, he was born, because you came really quickly once we got to the hospital.
A little gross, but very fun. I do like bringing family on the show. My mom is, of course, the first member of my family that I brought on the show. I brought my sister on for another episode. I thought about including a clip from that, but there were too many to choose from. She's in the honorable mentions. We'll call it that. She also helped me figure out which of these clips were in the top 10 and what order to put them in. So I'm pretty happy with what we landed on for these top 10. And I'm thankful that she came on the show for the episode she did. And of course, I'm going to bring more family on in upcoming episodes. I know my dad is slated for one real soon. Most of this show has just been friends. Friends from DePaul, friends from before DePaul, friends from before before DePaul. This next clip is from a friend of a friend from before before DePaul, if that makes any sense. A friend of mine from when I was a wee boy grew up, and he also has a podcast called the Choose Your Fighter podcast, and this is one of his co-hosts. Clip number 5 is Claire from Choose Your Fighter podcast picking her lawyer for the lawyer showdown.
Thank you, Your Honor. I also want to thank you for the list of lawyers that you provided us as options today. I decided that none of them were sufficient for me, and I decided to go with Sally Carrera.
Who?
You don't know who this is, but you'll remember her as Lightning McQueen's lover in Cars.
She's a lawyer?
A car did law?
Oh my God.
I just got so sweaty. What?
Oh, not Cars. We're not bringing this back. We're not bringing this back. I had the longest conversation on Saturday with Evan and Talo about Cars. It's fine. Sally Carrera is a Porsche 911 Carrera model. She was originally from California, and she decided to drive all the way to Radiator Springs until she broke down, and the people of Radiator Springs fixed her up. But yeah, she was an attorney in California, and then she went to Radiator Springs to be a hotel manager at the Cone Motel or whatever. I don't know, where all the people sleep in traffic cones. All the cars sleep in traffic.
Please don't.
There's no people. It's just cars. It's
very important.
Yeah.
So she was such a bad lawyer.
She was a good lawyer, but the stress of California, it was too much for her.
She couldn't take the heat.
Okay.
Get out of the courtroom. She can't take the heat.
Let me just say.
Objection.
Since Connor said that we could talk about fighting to the death, she's a car talk.
Do you know how many cars?
Try to fight a car.
Do you know how many cars Better Call Saul has probably blown up? Saul Goodman can hire any number of criminal organizations that he represents to blow up this car. I don't want to blow up a car, but if I have to, I will.
No, Sally is your sweet, lovely, pleasant little Porsche who is here to restore the town and be the town historian and take care of the hotel and fall in love with Lightning McQueen.
And not represent the client in a courtroom.
If she is the town lawyer at Radiator Springs as well. That just doesn't ever really become an issue. They don't settle things with the law around there.
Can I ask the prosecution a question?
Yeah, I'll allow it.
Thank you. Real quick. Is this ever discussed in the Cars film franchise, or is this part of the extended universe novel?
No, she says it one time.
Your pick is off of one line of dialogue from, well, I was a lawyer in California. Anyways, let's go drift.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. No, she also is in a courtroom at one point.
Yes, this is my point that I'd like to bring up. There is a court scene in the Cars movie, and that is when Lightning McQueen is in traffic court for speeding through the town and tearing it apart. And she says, kick him out of town. We don't need this rascal in our town. And she loses. The one time she appears in court, she loses. You're telling me this sweet, old, nice Porsche car that all she should be doing is running a Cone Hotel. You're telling her she can beat Saul, who defends international organized crime organizations across the entire US? You're telling she could beat him? Get out of here.
I would say she just wasn't listened to because she was a female and all the boys just wanted to race.
Thank you.
Yes. Thank you. Also, your guy is a lawyer, and my person is a car. So,
who's
also a lawyer? Car lawyer. So, got him.
Well, my lawyer drives a car. All right. This is at me. All right. My case is rested. I think this is clear cut.
Ah, yes. The Choose Your Fighter episode. Such chaotic energy. That's the energy that I want to emulate as frequently as possible. Because Tom Cruise is a chaotic guy. We love the crazy car chases and the masks and the true Tom Cruise factor. In fact, that's why I ask every guest what the most Tom Cruise-y thing they've done is. Because I really just want to know, what is that chaotic thing that sort of drives them? And so for clip number four, I picked what is probably my favorite response to this because it is a response that is so melded in chaotic energy. And the guest was so chaotic. And after this clip, we're going to do a little bit more commentary on Tom Cruise on the whole. I will get to talk some Tom. I very rarely get to do that. So clip number four is episode 15's most Tom Cruise-y thing that Azure Farr has ever done.
What? Okay, this is a question that I ask all of my guests, and I've gotten a weird variety of answers. But what is the most Tom Cruise thing that you have ever done?
That I've ever done? I jump up onto couches and laugh a lot.
That, you know?
I've also jumped out of a plane. Those are the two most Tom Cruise things. Oh, also, like, I'm a high-ranking Scientologist, and I lock people up a lot.
It's a good combination of things. That's what you want to take away from being Tom Cruise-y. I feel like 9 times out of 10 people are just like, yeah, I rode on the back of a motorcycle one time. Nah, you've got the vibe, the energy of Tom Cruise down pat.
I'm obsessed with that video, that interview with Tom Cruise on Oprah. It's bizarre.
It's
strange.
It really is. I feel like a lot of his interactions with the public are so bizarre. Though I don't know if I've ever, like, I haven't recently seen paparazzi photos of him, even though he's been shooting multiple films and, like, he's promoting a release, but I haven't seen, like, him spotted anywhere recently, which is so weird. I'm wondering, because I know he's in, like, Norway right now filming Mission Impossible 7, whatever it's going to be called, and he was in London for a little bit on the same project, and they have their own production bubble, but, like, nobody's sneaking in and taking photos, and I want that.
Yeah, you want to see, like, is Tom doing okay?
Because we don't
know. Is he wearing a mask?
Is he
wearing a mask covering that beautiful smile, that beautiful center tooth? Let the people see the center tooth, Tom.
Talking about Tom Cruise wearing a mask or not wearing a mask has really aged like fine wine. I'm glad that we finally know his stance on masks and that he made it so public to everyone and delivered one of my favorite Tom Cruise monologues, actually, because of it. A lot of people say it's a rant or a tirade, that he's out of line for being angry, but as someone who has seen everything he's done on the silver screen, it felt refreshing to know that he's just like that in reality. That these characters he's playing are just so melded into who he really is as a person. And I think that's just neat, you know? Don't get me wrong, I wouldn't want him to yell at me. That would be terrifying. But I thought it'd be fun, since this is a clip show special and this isn't a regular episode, I kind of want to play the full monologue, because not everyone's heard it. All of the different news networks, of course, have their sound bites that they've picked from his monologue, but I like it in its entirety. So what I'm going to do is play Tom Cruise's monologue about COVID-19 safety protocols, and then after that, I'm actually going to play a song from today's movie, and then do the fast facts, data breakdown, all that jazz, before we get into our final three clips for the Top 10 Tom Talks New Year's Clip Show Special. So stay tuned after this.
You're back there in Hollywood making movies right now because of us! Because they believe in us and what we're doing! I'm on the phone with every studio at night! Insurance companies! producers! And they're looking at us and using us to make their movies. We are creating thousands of jobs, you I don't ever want to see it again! Ever! And if you don't do it, you're fired. And I see you do it again, you're gone. And anyone on this crew does it. That's it. And you too. And you too. And you. Don't you ever do it again. That's it. No apologies. You can tell it to the people that are losing their homes because our industry is shut down. It's not going to put food on their table or pay for their college education. That's what I sleep with every night. In the future of this industry. So I'm sorry, I'm beyond your apologies. I have told you, and now I want it. And if you don't do it, you're out. We are not shutting this movie down! Is it understood? If I see it again, you're gone. And so are you. So you're gonna cost him his job. And I see it on the set, you're gone. And you're gone. That's it. Am I clear? Do you understand what I want? Do you understand the responsibility that you have? Because I will deal with your reason. And if you can't be reasonable, and I can't deal with your logic, you're fired. That's it. That is it. I trust you guys to be here.
You're listening to Radio DePaul. I'm Connor Mudd, and this is the Tom Talks Top 10 New Year's Clip Shows special. That, of course, was Work It Out by Beyonce from Austin Powers in Goldmember, a Tom Cruise movie with not a lot of Tom Cruise. I am going to do a quick synopsis of this one and tell you a little bit about it, but we're going to keep it relatively brief, I think. I'll tell you first about the part of this movie with Tom Cruise. So the start of this movie features this long, elaborate intro action sequence featuring parachutes and British cars and rockets and helicopters and all sorts of fun stuff. But it's not featuring the actual actors who play the characters in the movie. So it's not featuring Mike Myers. It's not featuring Beyonce. It's not featuring Michael Caine. It is instead featuring other A-list Hollywood actors in the same roles. So Tom Cruise plays Austin Powers during the introductory scene, which is titled Austin Pussy. Of course, the rest of the cast in this opening scene is Danny DeVito as Mini-Me, Gwyneth Paltrow as a character whose name I don't think I can say on Catholic radio, Kevin Spacey as Dr. Evil, and Steven Spielberg shows up in it also as himself. I am going to try and get through this plot synopsis as quick as possible, and then we'll do a data breakdown because y'all know Mike Myers, y'all know Beyonce, you know Michael Caine. That's the cast of this movie, effectively. There's other people, of course, but it's pretty much just those three. So this movie begins in Dr. Evil's lair, where he explains his evil plan to his crew of villains. His evil plan is to travel back in time to 1975 to partner with a Dutch gold-obsessed supervillain by the name of Johan van der Smut, who, after losing his bits in a smelting accident, is known by the alias Goldmember. Goldmember developed a power unit for a tractor beam, which Dr. Evil names Preparation H, and he intends to use it to pull a meteor into Earth. Austin Powers and the Ministry of Defense invade the lair and arrest Dr. Evil and Mini-Me, who is the mini version of Dr. Evil. The Queen of England then knights Austin for his service, but is disappointed when his father, the famous super spy Nigel Powers, does not attend the event. During an after party, Basil Exposition informs Austin that Nigel has been kidnapped, and the only clue is that the crew of his yacht have their bits painted gold. Austin visits the imprisoned Dr. Evil, who antagonizes him by reminding Austin that his father was also absent when he was given the title of International Man of Mystery during their British Intelligence Academy graduation, an event that angered Dr. Evil due to him being at the top of the class. Dr. Evil tells him that Goldmember is behind the abduction, so Austin travels back in time to 1975 and infiltrates Goldmember's roller disco club. He's reunited with his former lover, FBI agent Foxy Cleopatra, who is undercover. Austin locates his father but is unable to rescue him, and Goldmember takes Nigel through Dr. Evil's time machine into the present day. In the present, Dr. Evil and Minimi instigate a riot in their prison, which allows them to escape. A British intelligence mole named Number 3 informs Austin that Dr. Evil has moved to a new lair near Tokyo. Austin, accompanied by Foxy Cleopatra, who is played by Beyoncé, travels to Tokyo and they confront, I can't say that on air, can I? They confront Mike Myers in a fat suit, who has is a recurring character in the Austin Powers series, who is now a sumo wrestler. This guy reveals that the businessman, oh boy, is this racist, Mr. Roboto is working on a device for Dr. Evil and Goldmember. Austin and Foxy meet with Mr. Roboto, who pleads ignorance. Austin and Foxy infiltrate Roboto's factory, where the command unit for the tractor beam is being loaded into Goldmember's car, and Roboto gives Goldmember a golden key, yada yada. Foxy confronts Goldmember while Austin attempts to free Nigel, but Goldmember escapes and flees to Dr. Evil's submarine. Scott Evil, who's Dr. Evil's son, presents Dr. Evil with sharks with laser beams attached to their heads, a request that had unfortunately gone unfulfilled previously. Roboto is then killed when Scott causes him to fall into the shark pool. Dr. Evil replaces Minimi with Scott as his favorite son, and the rejected clone defects and joins Austin and Foxy. The trio infiltrate the submarine, but Austin is captured. Dr. Evil prepares to activate the tractor beam, but Foxy steals the key, frees Austin. Austin prepares to shoot Dr. Evil, and Nigel appears and reveals that Austin and Dr. Evil are brothers. Wow, they're played by the same actor. Who could have guessed? Confused, Dr. Evil explains that his parents died in a car accident, and he was raised by evil Belgians. But Nigel reveals that the explosion came from an assassination attempt, and he thought that only Austin survived. Dr. Evil, Austin, Nigel, and Minimi all embrace enraging Scott, who flees to pursue his own vengeance while Goldmember commandeers the tractor beam's controls, unzipping his pants to reveal his gold-covered bits are now a spare key. Goldmember activates the tractor beam, but Austin and Dr. Evil work together to reverse its polarity, destroying the meteor and saving the world. Yay. Goldmember then turns to the camera to reveal that the entire story was adapted into a film called Austin Pussy and was directed by Steven Spielberg. And it stars Tom Cruise as Austin Powers and Kevin Spacey as Dr. Evil, Danny DeVito as Minimi, and John Travolta as Goldmember. We've talked about this already. I'm not a fan of the Austin Powers series. I think the first one as a satire is interesting, but there are other spy satires that I think are better and other spy satires that I think were worse. Of the Austin Powers, this might be my least favorite. I think I've seen all three now, and it's just kind of weird. The thread gets lost easily, but it does have Michael Caine. It does have the fun little bits at the beginning and end that do feature Tom Cruise. But of course, it's not going to be very Tom Cruise-y for me in the grand scheme of things. So as you're probably familiar, I rate all these movies on enjoyment, engagement, quality, iconography, and the Tom Cruise factor. This is a low one. I'm not going to lie to you. I enjoyed it a median amount, a 10. I didn't absolutely hate it like I have other movies, but I didn't love it either. It was campy in a bad way and a little rough in regards to how well it holds up. There's definitely some racism and sexism that was really pervasive in this one. And then quality wise, of course, it's low. Iconography, nobody remembers that Tom Cruise is in this. So hardly Tom Cruise. And the Tom Cruise factor, the 10 seconds he's in, he's actually doing a ton of stunts and stuff. So I gave it a 10, right of the middle of the road, for a cumulative score of 43. On the whole, don't love it. But of course, that's part of the reason that I chose it for this episode, because this episode I'm not focusing as much on the movie. Not that I focus a ton on the movie in any other episode, but this episode I wanted to, you know, enjoy what I've had up to this point, what 2020 has done for the show and what the end of 2019 did for the show. But, you know, I really just wanted to enjoy what this show has been up to this point. This feels like a real good middle point. I know that there's a little less than half of the episodes left still to record, but this is a moment where we can sit, reflect, enjoy what we've seen, and not care about Austin Powers at all. But of course, that brings us to our final three clips of the Tom Talks Top 10 New Year's Clip Show special. Which brings us to clip number three. This is from a fairly recent episode, episode 23, my Vanilla Sky episode. I brought on Max Bromberg to talk about dreams and Hanukkah a little bit. It was a holiday special, but mostly dreams. And some of the dreams were good. Some of the dreams were bad. Some of the dreams were just outright weird. And this clip is one of my favorites. So for clip number three, Max Bromberg and I can't stop laughing at a Busta Rhymes sex dream. Are you ready for the final night of dreams?
I'm so ready. I'm hoping that you saved the best for last.
Oh, did I? Be my guest, read away.
Oh, there's attachments.
There's attachments to this one.
Okay. This is titled My Weirdest Dream by Sasha 3. Okay. Ooh. In my dream, a sexy liquid metal man had sex with me. His name is Busta, and he and I were lovemaking. I had pajamas on, but his entire body was silver except for his face. Busta would hold me while kissing me on my neck. When he morphed into liquid, Busta would kiss me on my stomach. I really loved him in the sex. The dream ended when he told me he loved me, tickled me and hugged me, gave me a kiss on the forehead, cheek, neck, and lips with his watery figure of himself. And he morphed into a silver liquid and left. This is what he looks like. That there's a picture of Busta as a solid.
And then another picture.
Oh my God.
The second picture is titled Busta as a liquid watery figure of himself. And the third is just Busta as a liquid.
Oh my God. Like, sex dreams are one thing, but sexy liquid metal sex dreams are a whole other ball game.
Right? Like, why is she picturing, like, the Silver Surfer? Like, who is this man?
When I hear Busta, I think Busta Rhymes.
Right. Okay. And if we
oh, there's comments.
Scroll down, there's a comment, and there's somebody who's attempting to interpret this.
Okay.
So someone, Aussie musician, wants to know if she's had such dreams before. I don't know. This is her weirdest dreams, so probably not.
Yeah, presumably not.
And then someone who is, I mean, obviously more of an expert in dreams than us, explains what it means to have men in your dreams, and then is like, it's gotta be Busta Rhymes, an American rapper. Are you possibly thinking about the idea of rapping? Says Elise Van Zee in a comment on Halloween this year.
I love how detailed this is. The liquid metal can suggest the idea that you have been one that could test your metal, but spelled M-E-T-T-L-E.
That's great.
That is a test where you to see what you're really made of. You know that that stuff, gosh, what's that metal that like it melts at like body temperature?
Mercury.
No, there's another one. Mercury. Mercury you can like hold.
Gallium. Gallium.
Yeah. That's what that third picture kind of reminds me of. And I was like, oh.
Yep, it's just gallium. The second picture is creepy.
Super creepy.
He's terrified. The first picture is creepy. I don't know. Something's going on in this woman's life.
Something is going on in this person's life. Yeah, seriously. I mean, yeah, as I said, sex dreams are one thing, but sex dreams about a metal man that turns into a liquid metal man and then kisses you on your stomach as a liquid.
What?
I'm just imagining like Phineas and Ferb-esque, there's just this liquid of puddle on the floor and it just forms two lips and it just
You can see why I saved this one for last.
And this one gets a 5 sheep out of 5 sheep.
Yeah, this is five out of five, certainly.
It's just too good, especially with the photos accompanying.
I'm so happy that she attached a photo of Busta Rhymes.
I mean, come on, you can't have somebody in your dream named Busta and it not be Busta Rhymes.
Right.
Good lord. This lady got something she gotta work out.
Ah, yes, that lady did have some things to work out. I wish I could show you the images that were on that screen, because, oh boy, it's funny, but you can always go to that dream forum and look it up yourself. It is a delight. That is one of our saucier clips, but, you know, I do like it when the show gets a little saucy. The next clip is less saucy, is more chaos energy. I just love good chaos energy. And it's chaos energy in a way that we see more frequently on our show, in that people are overwhelmed with a burden that I place on them and sometimes misspeak or say things that are wrong. And I really just enjoy it. So this is also from episode 16. This is our second clip in our top 10 from episode 16. Clip number 2, 4 guests have to share 1 minute to talk to Tom Cruise.
Well, there's one final question that I ask all of my guests every time they come on. I give, and I'll let y'all figure out how you want to do this. I give my guest exactly 1 minute to talk directly to Tom Cruise. In case Tom Cruise ever listens to this podcast, I'm going to like super cut all of these minutes together. And this will be your minute to say whatever you would ever want to say to Tom Cruise. Who wants to start us off?
I'm a volunteer Tala, because I think his openings are always so powerful.
All right. Tala, your time begins now.
All right, Tom Cruise, listen up. You have beautiful teeth. You have a beautiful smile. You have a beautiful face. And you had two beautiful wives at some point, Nicole Kidman and Katie Holmes. And you left them for the Church of Scientology? Of all things, the Church of Scientology. You are a beautiful man with a beautiful mind. Use it. All right, go.
Who, me? I watched Top Gun on a portable DVD player in a cabin in the middle of the woods in Maine, and it sounded terrible, but I feel like it was a good movie, so thank you.
Tom
Cruise, I'm glad you weren't Iron Man.
That's a powerful Tom, listen, buddy, you've done so well at picking your movies, but I just gotta know, you weren't in the Truman Show, were you? I got you confused with Jim Carrey. I 3 seconds. Hey, I love you, buddy. Keep it up.
Jim Carrey.
I went last. I had so much time to think about what I was going to say. I genuinely enjoy most of Tom Cruise's films. I had so much to say about his stunt work, and then I thought he was in The Truman Show, because that's another show that I watched in Connor's basement.
You put me on the spot, and all you could come up with was The Truman Show?
Yeah, I sent you out. You're the first wave in Saving Private Ryan. Hey. I'm so sorry. I was swimming under the water, just looking for anything to hold on to.
The cardinal sin, mixing Tom Cruise up with anyone else. I do love the chaotic energy that whole team brought to the show. You know, I'm so thankful that I've had such a variety of guests. You know, I want to shout out all 3 Liams I've brought on the show. I want to shout out the Radio DePaul people who've come on my show. I'll give a shout out to my family and my loved ones. My girlfriend's come on the show twice now, and I'm very thankful that she's agreed to do that. And I'm very thankful that she has watched so many Tom Cruise movies with me. I know that I still have half of a show left to record, but I'm pretty happy. And I'm very thankful that I've had such an opportunity from Radio DePaul to record such a weird, weird show. So without dilly-dallying any longer, let's get into clip number 1, a compilation of my favorite catchphrase. You know, this is Tom Talks. We should probably talk some Tom, maybe.
Yeah, let's get into it.
Yeah.
Well, this is Tom Talks, so we should probably talk some Tom. Well, this is Tom Talks. We should probably talk a little bit of Tom.
I'd love to.
We do have some Tom Cruise specific, because it's Tom Talks. We have to talk about Tom.
Of course.
So I'll ask my Tom Cruise questions.
This is Tom Talks. We should probably talk some Tom. Well, you know.
Yeah.
This is Tom Talks. We should probably talk some Tom, shouldn't we?
Yeah, let's talk Tom.
Well, you know, this is Tom Talks, so we should probably talk a little bit of Tom.
But yeah.
Tom?
Yeah, I mean, it is. It's, you know, it's Tom Talks. We should probably talk a little bit about Tom.
Well, this is Tom Talks, so we should probably talk some Tom. Well, this is Tom Talks. We've talked some Tom already. We've discovered that y'all aren't super familiar with Tom Cruise. Well, this is Tom Talks. We should probably talk some Tom.
Well, it is Tom Talks, so we should talk a little Tom.
Yes.
Well, this is Tom Talks. We should probably talk a little bit about Tom Cruise. Well, we should probably talk a little bit about Tom Cruise.
Because this is,
you know, this is Tom Talks.
That makes sense, yeah.
I mean, this is Tom Talks. This is the Tom Cruise talk show, so we should probably start talking a little bit about Tom Cruise.
But this is Tom Talks, so we should probably talk a little bit of Tom.
Yes, let's talk Tom.
Oh yeah. Well, this is Tom Talks, so we should probably talk some Tom. Thank you so much for tuning in to today's show, and thanks for talking Tom with me. Have a very happy new year, and as always, stay gold, Pony Boy.